pricing algorithms to charge personalized prices to every customer, and that would be based on their data profile. I'm sure there's a much better explanation. As my mother used to say, Jeremy, whatever next? Well, I'm going to talk now to Rhys May, Senior Associate Competition Law Practice at the big law firm Cliff Decker Hofmeyer. Rhys, good evening to you and a very warm welcome. So give me a better definition of personalized pricing and how it functions these days.
Thanks, Jeremy. So maybe to, dumb it down to its very simplistic level, it would be instances where generally bigger firms with a lot of capital and good IT and tech, what they do is they look at the data profile of every person that buys something through their website. And then through that, they determine the customer's willingness to pay and then actually charge different prices for the same type of good or service. And that's based on a perceived willingness to pay. So in a very simplistic example, if one person buys socks and you look at your friend who's also buying socks next to you, you guys might actually have separate pricing for the same type of product, which is unusual, but we'll probably discuss later a good business strategy.
So let's talk strategy in just a moment, but it all hinges on that determination of willingness to pay. I mean, in an ideal world, none of us are willing to pay for anything. We'd all like it to be free. So how do you determine that? What would the algorithm be looking at in that respect?
Yeah, so the algorithms generally look at a very fundamental one is your geography, so where you are in the world, your purchase history on that website, as well as your search history. So, whether you've looked at any other competitors, if you're searching on websites for high brand, sort of luxury brand, that might change the perceived willingness to pay for that particular consumer.
Is this all within the retail space, and would it be small or large items?
So generally, we find that it's mainly at the retail level, so for customers like you and me. But yeah, it does seem like it's increasingly becoming more at a wholesale level as well. So for big retailers that supply small businesses. But yeah, it's also in relation of services, good examples of these large transport platforms and the like where prices changes depending on the time of the day you ask for certain services.
So Rhys, as we have this conversation, I'm seeing a big red flag starting to come down the highway, and we're going to pass it in just a moment. But before we get there, what kind of price differential are we talking here? Is it, would the swings be quite wild, or would it be very small, just enough to entice me?
Jamie, that's a very good question. So how the algorithms generally work is that it's basically based on your perceived willingness to pay. So as we discussed, so if it views you as being a consumer that it is willing to entice, the price drops can be quite significant. And if it determines or identifies you as a person that's willing to splash cash for no reason for whatever he likes, then it will be high. But the actual differential in the swing is dependent on a case-by-case basis and based on the actual algorithm the company is using.
All right, let's look out the window now. Let's talk about that red flag. Personalized pricing, does it contravene any competition law?
So the Act itself doesn't prohibit the use of personalized pricing as a strategy, but there are definitely instances where it may contravene the Act, particularly for price discrimination if you're a really large firm.
How would you determine that?
Yeah, so price discrimination in very sort of short and simplistic terms is where so-called dominant firms, so really big firms with generally large market share, they charge different prices for the same product. So now you can already see it's basically what personalized pricing is. But the real kicker for it to contravene the Act is that it must have a negative impact on competition, or it must impede HDP or SMME firms from participating in the market. So that's generally the criteria that's used to determine whether it contravenes.
So we get into the strategy side of the conversation now. You said that it could be a good strategy for an organization, but does personalized pricing benefit competition, or could it inherently be seen as anti-competitive?
Yeah, so it's very much dependent on, how the algorithm actually plays out in the day-to-day. So the main way up is looking at whether the consumers who've actually benefited from the personalized pricing. So in other words, if I wasn't willing to pay for a certain product at a certain price, but the personalized pricing algorithm reduced the price, making me pay less, and then I actually ended up buying the product, versus what we call the exploitative effect. So in other words, the people who are willing to splash cash, whether they actually get charged more. So it's basically weighing up, you know, those consumers who get access to the product because of it versus those who get exploited and end up paying more. It is very uncomfortable and is perceived to be quite unfair for consumers. But in the grander scheme of things, many consumers can benefit on it, depending on how the algorithm functions.
And where are the loopholes? Can you game the system, do you think?
Well, from a competition law perspective, it's definitely on a case-by-case basis. And this is a very complex economic analysis. So I don't think there's one silver bullet, unfortunately, that anyone could game this. But that's a good question.
What kind of challenges would regulators face then in defining markets and assessing dominance when it comes to personalized pricing?
Like I mentioned earlier, this is only really an issue if you are a dominant firm. And one of the metrics that you use to determine if you are dominant is if you have what we call so-called market power. And that basically means that you can act to an appreciable extent sort of independently because of your market position, or if you can control pricing. So the interesting, at least theoretical notion here is that because you control prices at a very granular level for each customer, that there's this notion that you could, you know, because of the fact you're using personalized pricing, be dominant. That's a very hard line and a very arguable one, but it causes some headaches there. And also on the classic market definition tool that we use, which is just looking at, you know, how a minor price increase would affect, you know, how consumers purchase, that is also now been thrown out the window because of, you know, how dynamic this pricing is.
Rhys May, thank you very much indeed. Senior Associate Competition Law Practice at Cliff Dekker Hoffmeyer. Appreciate your time tonight, Rhys. Thank you. Hot.